Tainted Grail, Kings of Ruin, Awaken Realms' Dark Arthurian campaign at full production lavishness. Margot here. The cabinet is open, the lights are low, and the details matter. Tainted Grail. Kings of Ruin is a splurge-worthy grail because it is Awaken Realms' most refined campaign box. A fully standalone, 30 to 50 plus hour Dark Arthurian saga with revamped weirdness exploration and a Force and Diplomacy puzzle card combat system, all wrapped in production lavishness that justifies its heavyweight price. I do not use the word grail for a box just because it is expensive. I use it for a box that earns reverence, where a studio's whole lineage of craft has been poured into one object, and you can feel the years of refinement in your hands. Kings of Ruin is that box. Awaken Realms spent roughly 3.5 years sharpening this entry, and it shows in every Waystone token and every page of original, atmosphere-drenched writing. This is the studio behind Nemesis and ISS Vanguard arriving at its most polished, most confident work. And the remarkable thing is that you do not need a single prior Tainted Grail game to walk through its door. Save up for it the way you would save for a piece you intend to keep, because that is exactly what it is. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzlewick at no additional cost to you. Why is Kings of Ruin considered Awaken Realms' most polished campaign box? When I evaluate a grail, I look at lineage first, what came before, and whether this object represents the studio reaching its peak. Kings of Ruin sits at the top of that arc. Awaken Realms built it on roughly 3.5 years of iteration after Fall of Avalon, and that patience is the whole point. This is not a sequel rushed out to capitalize on a hit, it is a studio returning to its own world to do it better. The Dark Arthurian setting is rendered with a level of art direction and physical craft that few publishers attempt. The same team responsible for Nemesis and ISS Vanguard brought that production discipline here. The components, the miniatures, the layout of the campaign materials all carry that signature heft. Refinement over reinvention. The weirdness travel loop and the encounter system were both reworked from the earlier game, not bolted on. Atmosphere as a deliverable. Reviewers single out the original writing as the standout, calling the world building among the best in tabletop fantasy. Table presence. This is a heavyweight box that looks and feels like a centerpiece, not a filler. For the collector who values a studio's most refined work, that pedigree is the case. The build quality is the story. Can you start here without ever playing Fall of Avalon? Yes, and this is the single most important thing a newcomer needs to hear. Kings of Ruin is standalone by design. Awaken Realms describes it on its own site as a new standalone game that offers a perfect self-contained entry into the saga for new players. You do not need the original Tainted Grail, the Fall of Avalon, to play it. That is not a marketing softening. It is a deliberate architectural decision, and it makes Kings of Ruin the recommended entry point into the entire saga. I flag this because the lineage can intimidate. People see Tainted Grail and assume a 100-hour backlog and a shelf of expansions standing between them and the good part. Not here. You can make this your first Tainted Grail experience and lose nothing. In fact, you gain the most refined version of the world. One clean buying note from me: do not accidentally buy the predecessor. Fall of Avalon is a separate, earlier box. Kings of Ruin is the newer standalone. Confirm the title and the cover read Kings of Ruin before you check out. No homework required. The campaign teaches you its own systems as you travel. For a grail purchase, that accessibility is a gift. You are buying the destination, not a season pass. How does the Force and Diplomacy puzzle card combat actually work? This is where Kings of Ruin separates itself from the Dice Chuckers, and it is the system I most want story collectors to understand before they buy. Encounters are resolved through what Awaken Realms itself calls a unique puzzle card system. You are not rolling and hoping, you are solving. Combat resolves by building and stacking cards to accumulate enough value to overcome an opponent. Diplomacy runs on the same card-driven logic, but roots you around the fight entirely. Mechanically, combat and diplomacy each draw on their own deck of cards, so the two paths feel genuinely distinct. The crucial wrinkle, and the insider wisdom every owner repeats, is that an encounter is a Force and Diplomacy choice, not pure violence. Many encounters can be talked through rather than fought. The satisfaction lives in weighing those two paths and committing. Decide before you commit. Ask whether you can diplomance your way past an encounter before you draw steel. The wrong choice can cost you a long, grinding fight. honest caveat, some reviewers find later chapter combat slow as monster health climbs, pure strategy purists should know it can get fiddly deep in. The payoff, when a tense encounter resolves because you read it correctly, it feels earned in a way dice rarely deliver. That puzzle versus puzzle tension is, to me, the mechanical heart of the box. What is the weirdness travel system and why does it matter? The weirdness is the world's defining environmental mechanic, and in Kings of Ruin, it was revamped into a tighter, more deliberate exploration loop. Think of it as the connective tissue of the whole campaign. The land itself is corrupted and shifting, and how you move through it is its own resource puzzle layered on top of the story. Practically, you manage waystones and routes, securing safe passage, lighting your way through corrupted ground, deciding which paths to open and when. Western Avalon does not use the giant menhirs of the earlier game. Awaken Realms replace them with waystones, which stay lit without a fiddly time dial and don't block your location cards, one of the loop's headline improvements. This is not flavor. It is a system you can stumble in, and the most common early misstep owners describe is exactly this. Do not rush exploration. Pushing deep before you have secured your travel network, your waystones and routes is the classic early campaign error. Treat it as a puzzle, not a map. Managing the weirdness loop well is its own quiet strategic layer, and respecting it keeps the campaign humming. It feeds the atmosphere. Moving through corrupted, fog-bound land is where the world's dread does its work on you. For an immersive story collector, the weirdness is the reason the world feels alive rather than like a series of disconnected scenes. It is the spine the narrative hangs from. How long is the campaign, and what group does it really need? Let me be honest about the commitment, because a grail should be bought with clear eyes. Owners describe a campaign arc in the range of 30 to 50 plus hours, with individual chapters running a couple of hours and the fullest experiences stretching well beyond that. This is a saga, not an evening. That length shapes what kind of group you need. This is not a box for one-shot game nights or a rotating cast of whoever shows up. It rewards a stable group, the same players, returning across weeks or months, building familiarity with their heroes and the world. Pace yourself deliberately. Owners specifically advise treating it as a long campaign, not a sprint. Burning through chapters dilutes the atmosphere that makes it worth playing. Solo and small group friendly. It plays 1-4, so a dedicated solo player or a committed pair can absolutely carry the whole arc. Continuity is the asset. Hero development and unfolding story both pay off most when the same people see it through. If you have a reliable table or you are a patient solo storyteller, this length is a feature, not a warning. The hours are the value. Is the production worth the heavyweight box price? Here is the verified money picture, framed honestly. Stock, though, is genuinely uneven. Some retailers show out of stock while others have it live, and that can flip week to week. What you are paying for? A heavyweight box with miniatures, lavish art, and original writing that reviewers rate as the standout. Why I call it grail-priced, not overpriced. The production lavishness and the 30 to 50 plus hour payoff are the justification. This is craft you keep, not content you consume and trade. For the splurge collector, the value math is simple. Cost per hour and cost per craft both land firmly in grail territory. How do heroes grow across 30 to 50 hours of story? A campaign this long lives or dies on whether your character feels like yours by the end, and Kings of Ruin invests heavily here. Heroes develop across the arc through passive skills, items, and cards. Your deck and your capabilities evolve as the story does, so the version of your hero in the final chapters is meaningfully transformed from the one who set out. This is why I keep returning to the stable group point. Hero development is a slow burn, and its satisfaction compounds. Passive skills reshape how you approach the puzzle card encounters, opening new lines of force or diplomacy. Items and cards accumulate into a kit that reflects the choices you made and the paths you took through the weirdness. Narrative weight. Because the writing is the standout, your hero's growth is wrapped in story beats rather than a bare loot grind. Owners specifically say the narrative, not the loot, is what makes it worth the splurge. That marriage of mechanical progression and authored story is the immersive RPG dream in a box. You are not optimizing a spreadsheet. You are watching a character become someone over the course of a real, long, beautifully written journey. Should story-first or strategy-first players buy this? This is the honest sorting question, and my answer leans clearly one way. Kings of Ruin is, first and foremost, a story-first grail. Reviewers are nearly unanimous that the original atmospheric writing is the standout, And the whole design, the weirdness loop, the diplomacy or forced choices, the long hero arc, exists to serve immersion. If you are buying for narrative payoff, this is close to a perfect splurge. Strategy-first players should buy with eyes open. There is real decision space here. The puzzle card combat and the travel resource management both reward smart play, but it is not a tight, optimization-driven engine. Some find later chapter combat slow and fiddly as enemy health climbs. Buy it if you treasure world-building, atmosphere, and a long-authored campaign you and a stable group can live inside. Think twice if you want crunchy, fast, replayable strategy above all else. The length and the narrative pacing may frustrate you. The Margot verdict. As a piece of craft and a story machine, it is a true grail. Lean into the story beats and let the world do its work. For the immersive story collector, this is the splurge to save for. Final verdict. A true grail for the immersive story collector. Kings of Ruin is Awaken Realms at the peak of its craft, standalone, lavishly produced, and built around a 30 to 50 plus hour authored campaign where the writing, the weirdness exploration, managed through its revamped waystones, and the Foresaw Diplomacy puzzle card combat all serve immersion over grind. Buy it if you treasure world building and have a stable group or solo patience. Think twice if you want fast, crunchy, replayable strategy. It is exactly that. Frequently asked questions. Do I need to play Tainted Grail, The Fall of Avalon first? Number Kings of Ruin is standalone by design. Awaken Realms describes it on its own site as a new standalone game and a self-contained entry into the saga, so you do not need the original Fall of Avalon. It is in fact the recommended entry point, so you can make it your first Tainted Grail and lose nothing. How long is the full campaign? Owners describe an arc of roughly 30 to 50 plus hours, with individual chapters running a couple of hours each and the fullest playthroughs stretching well beyond. It is a long saga that rewards a stable group or a patient solo player over one-shot sessions. How does combat work? Is it dice-based? No, it is a puzzle card system, Awaken Realms' own term. You resolve encounters by building and stacking cards to overcome an opponent, with combat and diplomacy drawing on separate decks, and crucially you can often choose diplomacy instead of force. The satisfaction is in solving each encounter and deciding whether to talk your way through or fight before you commit. What does it actually cost, and is it in stock? Stock is intermittent and flips week to week, so check the buy link live before purchasing. Is this better for story-first or strategy-first players? Story-first, clearly. Reviewers single out the original atmospheric writing as the standout, and the whole design serves immersion. Strategy players will find real decision space, but should know it is not a tight optimization engine and that later chapter combat can feel slow. How many players and is it solo-friendly? It plays 1 to 4 players, ages 14 plus. A dedicated solo player or a committed pair can carry the entire campaign, and the long hero development arc actually rewards continuity. So the same player or group seeing it through is the ideal way to experience it.